It's March day 2005, and we're sitting in Pat Blanton's house. About to ask a few questions about Dick and her and the Vanderbilt Department. And Ben is here about to make another point.
Oh, I just uncovered this thing. This is about old Jim Nunnally and had his little thing on him. I don't know if that would... I can't find any more of that stuff at the moment. There may be more stuff in the attic, but we can keep looking.
That's perfect.
I don't know if you had one of these.
I did not. I did not have that. Thank you very much.
All right. They were kind of close.
Is that the only copy you have?
The one I found.
I'll be glad to return a copy.
It's,
I'll do that.
We'll take them and make use of them. Parenthetically, I might say, it's a little off the subject, but it might interest you to know that the old Wesley Hall table saw is alive and well in our basement. I think you used
okay.
it a time or two.
Okay, I did.
Still runs like a top.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
I made sure that we brought that home. And it's still
This has, Dick wrote this.
Oh, he did.
It's Dick and Bruce Bloxham, and it's about Jim. So.
There are two copies there, aren't there?
Very good.
So you can just take one.
Very good. Thank you for that. Just accumulating all sorts of good stuff. The first question I'd like to ask is when you were married.
1950. Yes.
Where?
This is after the war.
Yes. We were married in Philadelphia. We wanted to get married here, but my father didn't think it's legal if your daughter marries elsewhere than at home.
Ah, okay. And that's your home?
Yes.
Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
But you all met here and...
Yeah, we met at Iowa. We were both working for our masters at Iowa.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So he got his masters at Iowa
in
50 and then came down here. Do you know why he came here?
He hated the climate in Iowa. And Spence was the department chairman. He felt strongly that a psychology major would read nothing but psychology and science fiction. And Dick had rather wide interests. He had nothing in common with the administration.
But he got his master's there. Do you know what it was on?
Psychology.
You know what the area was, the topic?
I don't think he had one. I think in those days they didn't have topics.
Did he overlap with Thune then?
Yes, Thune was there.
Okay. Okay. And Thune came...
No, wait. Now he met Thune when he came down here.
He did?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's not the reason why he came?
No.
Okay. So he wanted to get away from Iowa and Spence, but why Vanderbilt?
I don't know. They seemed very happy to have him.
Was he recruited by Vanderbilt? Did he apply? Do you remember?
I don't think so.
You know, he was Vanderbilt's first clinical PhD.
Mm-hmm.
He got his degree in 52, the same year that two others got the first three degrees, PhDs. So it was a brand new graduate department.
Yes. And the chair used to wonder why Dick came here, too.
Stan Erickson.
Yeah.
He was chair then?
Yes.
Okay.
He lived in his house for a year.
Yeah.
In the log cabin?
No.
Next to the log cabin. The old log cabin burned. It was next
Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Next to the
old log cabin.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Civil War
okay.
bullet holes and all. But it burned some years back. And,
yeah. That's when you came back. Your second time here, as opposed to your first time.
Yes.
Where did you live the first time? Did you live in married student quarters on campus?
No, we couldn't get in. We had two apartments. One is over on 18th Avenue South. It's still there. It had just been built with very pretty brick taken from some place else. That we learned later the mayor had to have this place condemned so the used brick would be available for his friend who was building.
That's funny. I asked because that was after the Second World War, and there were a lot of G.I. Bill quarters kind of things. I mean, a lot of
there
campuses
were.
There
were.
Filled with that.
I would love to have gotten into one, but they weren't available, so. We were here for the ice storm that went on for...
1951 or 52?
Yeah.
It was one of those years, the famous ice storm.
When were you born, Ben?
1955, January 3rd, 1955, in Lexington. And, my first year of school there. And Dad needed more money, I think, so he came here from UK. It really was. UK wasn't paying us enough, was it?
Oh, he came here because Jim was here.
Is that why?
And the...
Yeah, they were already old friends.
And UK had a slew of former department chairs still in the department. So there was trouble. He just thought this would be more congenial.
I'd never heard of that. I was a very small boy, but I remember him being very friendly with everyone, everyone being friendly with him.
Mm-hmm.
I always liked meeting the university people because there was a lot of laughing and joking around. And they would interact with me a good deal. It seemed like a happy place.
Mm-hmm. But when he came here, Thun was his advisor, and Dick made the mistake of putting his feet up on Thun's desk. This was...
Yeah, Dad used to put his feet up on things, yeah.
Yeah, but this was not considered
acceptable.
Well, he learned not to. He was informed that this wasn't done.
This is as a graduate student you're talking about?
This was as a graduate student.
Uh-huh. Thun was his advisor early on, I guess, but George Koppel was the first signer of his dissertation.
Yes. It's awkward because the... you get involved with other aspects of those two couples.
Uh-huh.
And I'm wondering what to say.
Say what you will. We're the only ones alive.
We are, aren't we?
That's right.
Golly.
Must be someone else.
Warren Webb.
But
Warren Webb, yes, he's still around, but he wasn't here when you were here as a graduate student. He came later.
No, no.
He came in 56, I think. But we're the only old timers remaining. Pat and I.
Well, it's lucky you're writing the history, isn't it?
There may be more to find. We'll keep coming. I'll come through. I've meant to. These things are in localized areas, But he did an awful lot of it. Up in the attic there was, he kept a lot of stuff of his old students, their dissertation.
Very good.
There's copies of stuff. It feels funny throwing it out. I admit that some of it's been used in, in the fireplace, this kind of thing. But there is, there's still some stuff.
Well, in addition to putting together a presentation on the history of the department, I also am encouraging the department to start an archive, a permanent collection of materials that would include virtually anything that you could give up with of your dad.
Well, here his old diploma is hanging downstairs. You can have that if you want, I suppose.
Okay.
But I think his state certification and stuff.
Yeah, that would be fun.
License to be a psychologist in the state of Tennessee, he's down there.
Good.
I don't know if there's a... I don't know what else we have. I wondered if there might be stuff in the slide collection or the photos. There may be some things in the photos, you know.
I don't think so.
I don't know if anything would be interesting, really.
No, that was family stuff.
There are photos that show other psychologists, you know, but... Remember that one of him and Jim on the seesaw?
Mm-hmm.
I have, well, a good picture of that in my memory. That was probably the last time they were together, the department function.
Yeah, Jim, I believe he has his pipe in his mouth. He's looking contemplative.
Yeah. Well, at least I have one picture of that. They may have done that more than once, but I remember the last department function that they did that. And that was after Nami had became ill, and so I didn't... that was especially precious to see them together.
Yeah, he got, I guess it was throat cancer or something. He got from smoking that pipe, that's what he got.
Yeah.
Yeah. But he was good natured to the end.
You have someplace the story about Dorothy Timberlake and the cow?
Yes, I do. That's one of the histories we have.
That's important.
With the famous line that Stan Erickson had. Where they were trying to figure out what to do with this bull that had entered the basement of Kirkland Hall where the department was at that time. And they were trying to get the bull out, and they thought about maybe shooting him. And Stan is reported by Dorothy to have said, if there's any bull shooting going on around here, I'm going to do it.
That's good. I didn't know about that. I hadn't heard that story.
No.
That's part of her history. We have that.
Okay, good. Because that Dorothy is really who you need for this.
Yes. Well, fortunately, she not only wrote that history, she actually had three, I have three versions of it. She used to give a talk to entering graduate students, kind of give a history department to entering graduate students, a sort of orientation.
That's
a question I had for you was what you remember about the location of the department, both when I know what when you came back where it was, but during graduate school, I assume it was in Kirkland Hall.
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
No.
Okay. I also.
When the steer came in, it was down below. It was on the lower floor, and it lost its balance, and, you know.
Oh, it actually splayed out.
Yes.
Yeah, Dad said that the floors had been waxed up.
Oh, okay.
And that the steer was off its feet, you know. The steer's heart hooves meant that it couldn't get a grip on the floor, and it was sliding and creeping around. I thought that was a funny story. But it couldn't have been Wesley Hall then, on a lower floor.
No, it was Kirkland Hall. It was the first floor of Kirkland Hall. It was really now treated as a basement.
Yeah.
Okay.
That I had clear about. But I don't have a good sense of where in Kirkland Hall the department was.
And that I don't remember.
Okay. I also have some evidence that they had, quote, psychology laboratory on the third floor of Kirkland Hall.
I don't remember
okay.
that.
Okay.
Yeah, long day.
I just remember that.
Yeah. I love a chance to get wood. We've got so much wood this year.
Trailer.
We've got so much wood this year.
They're full of the contents of the lab from...
But we interrupted your opportunity to talk about the couples.
The couples.
The couples
the
and
couples.
The Thunes and the Stanford Ericksons. And that's...
Couple.
History can't get by without information of that kind, you know.
Well,
how well people got along and stuff.
Dick did a dissertation, and that was the summer that it was temperature night and day averaged in the 90s in June of that year. And we rented two typewriters, and so I would do the final copy while he did the rough draft, and...
So you typed this guy?
Yeah. And we were, anyway, we sat down in that basement and typed, and Dick had the usual number of conferences with his advisor about this. And, let's see, graduation was going to be Saturday noon. It was the deadline for the year. He had to have his dissertation approved then or else. Friday night, Capo looked at the dissertation for the first time, and he did not like the style of the footnotes. And I refused to do anything about them. So Dick changed them in the style. He wanted them to be, what is it, PP period instead of P period. I mean, it was something small. And in those days, you weren't allowed to make any corrections on a page. You had to redo the entire page. Well, he corrected it with whiteout or something. But I was just so angry. And Erickson's comment the day before we had a picnic or something was that, well, now they all had to go, the staff had to go home and try and think of a question to ask Dick about his dissertation.
So he was going to have his final orals on Saturday? Is that what you're saying, or is this before?
Yes, okay. Saturday morning.
Okay.
And that was it. And he did pass them, and they didn't reject his dissertation because of the footnotes. It was a strenuous summer.
But he actually wrote George Koppel was his original advisor on the dissertation.
Yes.
And so he worked with him on it.
Well, I wouldn't say he worked with him, yeah. But he was his advisor.
Yeah, okay. The last minute, okay. He worked
with him. He noticed the footnotes at the last minute.
Okay. That's the amount of advice he gave, you think. I'm not surprised, knowing Dick.
Mm-hmm. And knowing Koppel.
And knowing George.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm sure you had other comments about Koppel and his real estate dealings and things.
No, I haven't really gotten into that, but maybe I should, huh?
No, I'm not sure you should at all. Yeah.
With the footnote.
Okay.
Then after, did you all move away that summer?
Yes, then we went up to Lexington.
Okay.
Dick had something from the VA.
Oh, that's how we got started with the VA. Okay. Because when I came, he was still associated partially. We got a grant from the VA.
Oh, well.
So.
He's up there with the VA.
Did he have did he do an internship?
No, it wasn't an internship.
Okay. And but eventually he got connected with the university, right?
Then they took him on at the university.
Yeah.
I think the first year of his system.
Right. Yeah.
At the VA.
Were you happy there?
Well, it was an interesting year.
It's not Philadelphia.
Oh, well, Philadelphia. We lived outside of Philadelphia. I grew up in a town of 600 people.
Okay.
You know, we would take the train into Philadelphia to see the symphony and all that sort of thing. But it was...
I knew that when Jum took over the chairmanship here,
mm-hmm.
and had the opportunity to replace a number of people, that he immediately went to Dick, but I didn't know that story very well. That's about all I know about that.
Well, they've been buddies, and...
When did they first meet?
At Birmingham Southern.
They were both students at there?
Yes.
Okay. And then they both went to the war.
Yes.
Dick went... He was... I remember his stories about photo reconnaissance in the South Pacific. Is that right?
Yes. He was at New Guinea.
New Guinea.
For 2 years. Living in a tent with assorted wildlife coming in and large ones from what I hear, and sleeping on an army cot. When he entered the army, he was 6'6 was the limit, so they just shortened his height on records to keep him in, and he slept in army cots.
6 foot army cots.
Exactly.
That's just 3 or something. Yeah. How long was he in the service? 2 years?
2 years, I believe.
Well, I don't find much more offhand. That's another one of the things with him and John.
Great. Thank you.
There may be more stuff.
Okay.
We can only poke around a little. I don't think Dr. Catan would have some things to say about this.
He does. Past my first interview. But I do intend to talk to a number of people. Catan, I've talked informally and briefly with him, and he will be very helpful as well, yes. But he actually came after I did. I came in 1960.
Yeah, that's right. They were
same year that Joan did.
They were quite early 60s in Catan, but yeah, you predate them.
Yeah.
Everybody kind of came way back in 61.
That's
sure.
Right.
That's fine. Thank you.
Yeah, that coffee's not strong. It's about half the decaf.
Okay, that's good. Just enough to...
Half decaf?
Yeah, it's about half. All the people tend to...
Catan was involved in real estate dealings with cobbles.
Uh-huh.
Be interesting to see what he says.
Well, I'm sure that it'll be very interesting. I do remember that he has attributed George of building the first condo in Nashville.
Yes.
Which is... quite a landmark thing. Mm-hmm.
And as I recall, somehow it did well financially, but not for the people who invested in it.
Uh-huh.
It's still doing very well.
Mm-hmm.
It's prime property. Mm-hmm.
That was a nice condo, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A friend lived there.
Well, Wesley Hall was an interesting place. It was a privilege growing up in that neighborhood. I think my dad was very free with all of us kids, you know, and our friends coming out of the place. And,
uh-huh.
And that was a fun place to explore. And we had a great time with all of his surplus acquisitions.
That's right.
Yeah.
Dig through the surplus.
Yeah, well, Pat Burns, still, every time I bring Dick Blanton up, she has these stories about how Dorothy was always upset by the regular appearance of the trucks delivering yet another load of valuable things that Dick found in surplus.
Yeah. A lot of fun for children. And, yeah. A lot of fun for the kids. And so some of it is still here in his house, although we probably made a good deal.
Oh, that's right.
I recall when he was, after his first stroke, and he was a little damaged, he was in the hospital in Lord Vanderbilt one night. And it may have been the second time he was in, but it was, I guess it was 85 or 86. What year was Wesley Hall torn down?
90, I think.
I don't
remember. His first trade, what was on his mind was stuff down at the, go down to the department and look for my stuff. You know? And this was a theme that was repeated over the years. He wanted, you know, go down here, boy, and find my stuff, and here you'll find. He would describe what locker it was in, what closet it was in. He was at the...
back on the second floor.
Yeah, and but that was repeated at the time. He was back in the hospital again when the building was going to be torn down. Well, Charlie Mitchell, the building engineer, said, there's no hope that we're going to take it down. And I was actually, I think, one of the very last people in the building. my father had me, the lights were off. The power had been off for a couple of days, and they were going to start demolishing it. And he said, no, I want you to go and find this. And he would have me make out a list of things. And I was down there poking around that place with a flashlight, that spooky old building, one night. So I could honestly tell him that, Dad, you know, I've got your, you know, and...
Did you ever find any of the stuff that he wanted?
Sure, you know, yeah. Some of it anyway. Seems to be a family failing that we're all got pack rats and toys.
So what's your favorite article from all that?
My favorite article
from
all of that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, as far as items of salvage from Wesley Hall, there's been a lot of useful stuff. Probably the table saw I mentioned still runs.
Uh-huh.
And as kids, there was a Tesla coil he allowed us to salvage that I think is, I found it rolled up on a shelf down there, you know, when he was kind of out of the department. We played with it when we were young, and he said, that old Tesla coil might be valuable, you might want to get it. I salvaged it. I figured I'd find other kids who would play with it someday, use it to light up light bulbs with, uh-huh. Take a dead fluorescent tube, and, you know, it's a... But he was always good about providing toys. That was a fun place.
You mean toys like those?
That was a fun place, Wesley Hall.
Well, either you or Nick commented that when you were grown that he was the star of the class because he had access to all of these engines and motors and all the stuff.
We had something we wanted to rig with
the other boys thought he, all the other boys in the class thought, gee, they didn't have access to anything like that.
Back in the erector's room, my brother Nick and I, you know, had all kinds of, we could, little servos and things, we could power our stuff, we could make machines.
Uh-huh.
We always had plenty of electric motors, plenty of pulleys and gears. And as a young adult, I remember being in my 20s, if I wanted to, I remember salvaging and looking for a box of nails or a wood screw or something like this. Yeah, I know where we can go. Let's go to Wesley Hall and see if there's any. You know, and I confess I did this, and it's still around.
But Dick was complaining that things seemed to be going out very quickly, that other people in the department were also doing this.
Oh, yeah, it was a great resource. It was a great resource. But I have been, I believe it was Dr. Catan that made the point that it wasn't for Dad that there wouldn't have been all that great junk.
That's right.
And junk, you think it's just junk, but sometimes you need a piece of it, you know. And I believe it was Edison. Dad quoted Edison a few times. All you need to invent is creativity and a pile of junk. And you can invent. One of Edison's quotes, or at least so he attributed it.
Uh-huh.
I guess that's what
uh-huh.
Edison's ever
well,
also
if,
has.
Well, if he said it was Edison,
it probably was Edison.
It was Edison. We learned that a long time ago. Whatever he claimed, he was right about.
Yeah, he had a good memory.
Yeah.
He had a good memory.
Yes, that last concert he went to at Blair, someone had put wrong dates on some composer.
Oh, yes.
And Dick, yeah.
Yes.
Rejected, so Quinton looked it up and said, no, he's right, you know.
Yeah, he knew the births and deaths of composers, you know.
What else was he really? I know we knew. We had the experience of the botanical names of all the plants that he knew.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What were some of the other areas of his expertise?
I don't think I ever found one that he wasn't an expert at.
Okay.
Probably next to Elsie Quarterman, he was the best person on non-flowering plants. His neighborhood, you know, fungi. Was the study of fungi.
Oh, yeah.
He's an amateur mycologist, and it kind of turned me into one.
Yes.
Yeah. And
he loved mushrooms, and he absorbed a great body of knowledge about them. And he was the only member of the North American Mycological Association in the city for years. Now I'm the only member. But Bertha Creechberg in Murfreesboro is the other one. But
the chair of mycology would always refer questions to Dick if he got any.
Yeah, they had mycology at Vanderbilt in the Rock Creek Farm. I don't remember that one. I remember there being discussions of that, that he referred stuff to that.
Yes, he did.
Did Dick get most of this information just from reading?
I think reading and interacting. He remembered conversations with people. If he thought someone had something interesting to say, he could quote them later. He just had a good memory.
Oh, yeah. Nobody doubts that. But when he was in elementary school, I believe it was, he was sort of bored, and he read the entire Encyclopedia Britannica. I think it took him a year, but he went through it.
Well, I read all the encyclopedias when I was a boy. They were there to read.
Yeah.
What you're supposed to do.
Well, Dick had some really, really creative ideas about what ought to be researched in psychology. Do you have any idea where these came from, just out of his head?
I would say from his head.
I remember a couple of them. I was told Keith the other day, I don't know, I heard maybe just a small portion of them. One of them is about hiccuping. And the other, he was interested in hiccuping.
I have chemo brain, by the way. I've been on chemo for about 4 years now, and it does damage. So
you're doing pretty well with that.
Well,
you are.
Okay.
And
one of the other things is spontaneous itching. And do you remember any of the other kind of interesting?
Well, he was interested in breath, breathing, and breath control.
Yeah.
That was the
hiccup. There were several people, especially Dick Alford, I think was his favorite student. He had a lot of favorite students, I think, with him, but Vic was one of the later ones. It was kind of particular. And a lot of Vic's stuff is here. Vic's papers and things are here. He would be someone to talk to if you wanted to know about that.
Yeah.
Be Victor Alford.
Good.
L-P-H-E-R. I'm sure he'd be generous about that.
Do you know where he is now?
Phone number, great.
We've occasionally gotten corrections. He's still in Texas, I guess. But Vic's health is fragile, and he's limited in his traveling and stuff like this. Uh-huh. He'd be a nice guy to talk to.
Good. Good.
They had a pretty close relationship. Dad, breathing all of the endless stuff with speech and hearing he did. That seems to be a great part of the material we have here. There's more. I can keep up some more on the table if you want to see this stuff.
It was neat. I wonder when this was made. When this was.
I don't know. It's dated.
It has 1980 as the last entry, so I suspect that was.
Let me get. There is an original copy that has some of red pencil on it. My head is dated.
No, it doesn't have a phone. He's moved. He's in Austin, Texas now. 3605. Steck Avenue.
S-T-E-C-K?
Yes. Number 2055. Austin, Texas 78759-8833.
Great.
Well,
thank you.
Start.
Yes.
Electrodermal research, EGSR type stuff.
I remember that.
Where the Kuchin came from?
Yes.
He had so many ideas, and I don't think he ever, many of them, as many as he had, ever came to any kind of fruition.
Well, he and Randy Brill would sit around and talk about research ideas.
Randy Brill?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you know him?
Probably not, just through Dick.
Oh, okay. He's back, you could talk to him.
That might be a ruling, but...
What's his area?
Pardon me?
Randy Brill, what's his area?
He's an MD in thyroid research.
Right, okay. I've heard of him too, through Dick.
I don't see a date here. This is evidently the first one because he marked a correction on it and the others are typed a little differently, but you might find something different in that. I don't know if there's a date.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, this one is the new one. And this is the one he was typed from.
Yeah.
He worked with Bill Degner.
Yes. Is Bill still around?
And old Sal Sorachi.
Sal died.
Did he?
He did?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
A couple of years ago.
He was a nice fellow, Sal.
That. That may be why they stopped sending Christmas cards.
That's probably a good theory.
Do you remember other favorite students?
And this is back in the 60s. And they hung out a lot together. Easygoing kind of fella. Quiet, contemplative. Mark, remember his name? No,
there was one was an M, getting his MD at Meharry. And is in California now. Let me see what his name is.
Mark seemed like a local guy. He had a Nashville kind of accent. It's funny, I can remember him very well as a person. I don't know his name.
Okay.
Doesn't look like
he's a guy you'd recognize if you saw him, probably Keith.
Yeah.
And his name will come to me, maybe.
But Sal Sorachi.
Any beard, usually shaved.
He was so young to have died.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And cancer.
Oh, gee. His wife is still teaching, is she?
I don't know. Keeney?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That they moved away.
Well, they were up in the Boston area.
Mm-hmm. And I haven't heard from them since. So. Mark Freeman? Does that sound right?
No, that was Macklin.
What was Macklin?
Macklin.
Okay, right, I remember Macklin.
Okay.
Do you remember Macklin, Freeman?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
She was with Bill Wilkerson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then she was in Indianapolis, wasn't she, with their clinic?
Well, I think so.
Was it Louisville?
I don't know where she went there.
Did she get her degree with Dick?
I think so. And then she stayed on for a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
She was the wife of a
something
faculty member.
Yeah, you're right. Mm-hmm. It's Kurt McIntyre. This is interesting.
Kurt, I'm glad it's good.
I don't think so. I think I was wrong.
No. This Fox.
John and Sharon Doner were people he was very fond of. If you want a number for them.
That would be nice, thank you.
804-973-2346. They're over in Charlottesville.
What's your last four digits again?
2346.
Okay, great. Thank you. I guess I remember John well. He was one of the few people who got a PhD in the Vanderbilt department without any empirical research.
Really?
That's my memory.
That's good. Yeah.
How did you manage that?
That's exactly a very good question. But since he was the only one, you can imagine it was not easy.
Yeah, he probably had special help. A special committee, maybe?
Yeah.
And he's gone out of psychology. I asked him what he's doing now, because he's doing a...
I don't know what this is doing there.
Now I'm looking for the Meharry guy who's...
Jay Gould. Can't be the Jay Gould.
Could be.
That's when Ben's going to reappear with more things.
I think so.
He keeps disappearing and coming back.
Mm-hmm. Well, a big study was downstairs, and there's still a lot of stuff down there.
Well, you've done me a very good job. You've answered all the questions that I could think of this morning at 4 o'clock when I woke up.
That's wonderful.
Realizing that I was going to talk to you today.
And I was wondering what on earth you could ask me that I would know about. Let me get you the name of one more student.
He's about a third of Vick's publications
were
with me.
Uh-huh.
Here's Art Robbins, Maureen Hart.
Oh, Art Robbins. A faculty member for a while.
He's Vick Alpers, Masters. Bill Call was on it. And Beth Marowitz. Bodily feeling scale.
Oh, all right.
I can't discriminate the validity of bodily feeling scale. Let's see what that involves.
Number Walton.
She worked on the Outlook National after I did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
She took over my position.
You were working for Outlook?
For 1 year.
I didn't realize
that. Dick got a grant from the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
And he hired me for a year, and Cindy McIntyre.
Well, for him.
No, and Linda Magger? No, Linda Magger. Because we got involved in... Now, that's where I found out I couldn't do everything. Because he put under me... He hired the research assistants, and all of them were unmanageable.
There are some more odds and ends of things here. If you wanted to... Briefly, I don't know. Emeritus professors, 86.
Here's Kitty Riley. I don't know if you want her number or not.
I've got her.
Okay.
I stay in touch with her.
Oh, good. She said she was retiring.
Mm-hmm.
You commence with, that's that picture of him.
That Dick recognized as being from the First World War. And he said, I can't accept that. You know, it says right in the Articles of War that number so-and-so, so-and-so, that you have to supply us with current.
A soldier isn't required to accept a substandard arm. And he knew this, and this was fine print that had been lost on everyone. And he was just a corporal, you know, but he pointed this out, and apparently some of the other guys said, yeah, you know, we don't have to take these. So this was... Just marked him as a troublemaker. certainly, but sure enough, you know, apparently there were some adjustments made.
They got some different ones.
But that was the U.S. Enfield, the 1917 Enfield, and it was the same one that Sergeant York used, you know, a perfectly effective firearm. But there's a note, you got to give us contemporary stuff. Yeah.
And one night, he'd been assigned to a foxhole. Foxhole, and the word was the Japanese were all around, and everybody was scared. And Dick said, "Well, the thing for us to do is make lots of noise. They don't want to know that we know they're there." And so,
that's good.
That's about all I remember.
Make me think that you don't know her there.
Brian Type got his degree at Meharry, an MD. Oh, I know. He got his psychology degree at Vanderbilt, and then he got an MD at Meharry.
Okay.
He was doing breathing research, so they worked together on things. And his number, in case you wanted...
On type, T-Y-P?
T-E-I-P.
Oh, okay.
His number is... Do you have notepads and things here?
I did.
Is 818-358-2149. And he was...
You said E-I, not I-E?
No, it's E-I.
E-I, okay.
Some notes from a symposium, I think. Painting a moment in re-inscription. Picking out name and close setting and sending it to a new context.
So when he told you he was interested in coming down here, what did you think about that?
Oh, I thought it was a great idea. At that time, Lexington was very small. It didn't have a mall even. And we had the three kids who were in school or not in school, but I was pretty well confined. We only had one car.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it'd be great to go live in a big city.
Big city.
Unfortunately, Erickson was going to be gone a year and wanted to rent out his house down in Grand White.
Yes.
So there we were in the country.
Oh, yes.
And if there's anything the Nashvillians are not interested in, it is renters. So we did not get acquainted. I drove 50 miles a day to get to
school. Yeah, I was thinking of that.
But other than that, I enjoyed Nashville.
So. Did you know Stanford very well?
No, I didn't. He was a Unitarian, of course. So.
I did not know that.
So who in the department did you all socialize with? Was job, I guess.
We came down here. We got a sitter for the weekend. We drove down. Jem was supposed to have lined up rental houses for us to look at. And he offered us a drink. And then he offered us another drink. And that's the way the weekend went by. Nothing had been done. The office of, off-campus housing was closed for the weekend. And so we really had to settle on Jeb's place, on Stan's place. So.
Yeah, he was in Michigan at the...
Human
Learning Resources Center, mm-hmm.
So after he got back, then you all moved somewhere else.
He didn't come back.
Oh, he stayed? Yeah, but they...
Jem was the chairman then, and the story that Jem told me about that was that Stan called him up, him, Jem, saying, they've offered me a nice position here at the sitter. And Jem said, congratulations, I hope you have a nice stay.
Okay. Okay.
And he didn't come back.
Okay.
That was the end of that.
Mm-hmm.
When I came for my job interview in 1960, there was a lot of bad feeling about Stan in the department.
I didn't realize that.
At least two of the clinical people took me aside, or when I met them in their office, and told me that, basically said not to come.
said that I should not come down here. And told me that not too long before, they as a clinical group had gone to the dean and complained that they were being treated like secondary citizens. This is all a surprise to you?
Pretty much. I get glimmers of something back then, but I don't remember it clearly at all.
Okay.
But what could have... We thought it was wonderful when we came as students from Iowa because people were friendly.
Uh-huh.
And we just... I really don't remember. I was working in the old city schools at that point, and that took my energy.
Gotcha.
Well, no, that was earlier. But I don't remember.
Okay.
That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. It certainly explains why Stan would stay away.
That's why, also it explains why it was room, there was room for Dick to come down, because even though Stan stayed away, the clinical people left, and Joan had to replace them. And that's my sense of part of the history of how it was he was able, actually not only were the clinical people leaving, but a lot of other people were leaving at the same time. The department, there was a lot of bad feeling that was not taken care of just by simply letting Stan get out of town for a year. They had started thinking about going other places anyway, and that allowed John to pretty much rebuild the department.
Well, Dick came down here just for the year. He didn't, it was just a temporary.
Interesting.
But.
Came for a year and stayed.
Yeah. Then in the spring, then Jum's, that looks, hang on.
In Jum's way.
Mm-hmm. So we started building a house, not in the country.
Not this one?
It was this one, yes. Mm-hmm. The
Seven Hills was just opening up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't shed any light on that.
Okay.
Because I wasn't... If I was aware of it, but I'm not.
Well, you weren't here at the time, but I just wondered if you knew enough about Stan that would, encourage